Hello and welcome back to the Bike Wale Podcast. I'm your host Anuj and I'm back with some more interesting two-wheeler related content for my listener friends. And so today what we are going to discuss is something I've been looking forward to for a long time, because this is not only for my listeners but also for my personal guidance and learnings. Today we are going to talk about different tips and techniques of off-road riding, especially for beginners. So this episode is for those who want to venture into the beautiful world of adventure riding but have been holding themselves back for some reason. And for this episode, I have with me none other than Pratik. Hi Pratik, welcome to the show.
Hi Anuj, thank you so much for having me here.
So Pratik is a modest person and he won't tell this himself, but Pratik is not just one of the best off-road riders in our team, but is also one of the finest the Indian motorcycle journalism industry has seen, because Pratik has represented India at the 2020 BMW GS Trophy that was held in New Zealand. The GS Trophy is one of the extreme hardcore adventure competitions where the participants don't just ride off-road, but there are a lot of other team-oriented challenges, and it really tests the mettle of a person. And I think there wouldn't have been anyone more suitable than Pratik for this show. So Pratik, before we begin with our discussion, tell me why off-roading appeals you so much. Why you have more fun riding off the road than on the road? What's the story behind this?
So it actually all started with, I think it was almost 6-7 years ago. I actually loved road riding, enjoyable, yes. But then I happened to attend one of our training sessions at Big Rock Motor Park in Kolar. It is run by none other than C. Santosh. Okay. So it was a two-day training, and the idea of riding a motorcycle off the road was really interesting. And those 2 days made me realize the amount of fun, the amount of freedom a motorcycle gives you when you're not on the road. And secondly, India, right? Yeah. It's a huge country. Plus, we are sadly known for roads that, you know, bad roads,
yeah.
Or maybe sometimes worse road, right? So you need to develop a skill where you have to ride off the road, right? You really can't be spending a lot of time on the road, because sometimes there are no roads and sometimes you have to go to the traffic.
Yeah.
But riding off-road gives you the ability to, you know, go through the traffic, or you save a lot of time if you try to be off the road. So over the years, and you know, it just made me realize that off-road is actually very addictive. Once you get on a saddle and start exploring the world, be it around your house or be it, you know, around 1,000 kilometers away from your place, it gives you the ability to, it's a different sense of freedom you have.
Correct.
Because I love touring and I love camping. So, but there are places where you can't go, you can't take a car, right? You can't even take a regular motorcycle. You need a motorcycle with really good ground clearance. You need a motorcycle with long travel suspension.
That's true.
And plus, obviously, if you don't have decent basic off-road skills, you know, it won't help you even if you have a good enduro motorcycle. So the kind of places I've seen using an off-road motorcycle and also with some basic off-road skills is just incredible. Because to explore, to see the beauty of India, you have to go up the path. You have to find some special places. You have to go inside the trails, inside the forest. And you can only do this when you have some basic off-road skills and obviously an off-road motorcycle.
Correct. And this, your first, you know, experience with the off-roading, this Big Rock Dirt Park, which you told me, how long back this was?
This is almost 6 years ago.
Oh. Yeah. So since then you have never just stopped.
I just got hooked onto it, and luckily now we have some really good motorcycles coming in. Not really expensive ones, obviously a lot of us can't really afford it, but thanks to few certain brands who have got entry-level adventure motorcycle, the addiction level has just increased.
Right, that's true. It has become very accessible for people in India.
Easily.
That's true. Alright, so that was introduction of Pratik, and now let's dive into the topic. And so Pratik, let's start with the most basic things that a beginner should know, a person who has never gone off the road or doesn't know even the basics of off-roading. What are the things that you would tell them to do while if they want to start?
So there are various levels of off-roading, right? You start as a beginner, you become a professional, and you can make a world class. But for all the things, the most important thing you need to have while off-roading is you need to have a very good vision. When I say very good vision, I'm saying you need to look where you want to go. I'm not one of those who would want, you know, the basics of off-roading is I won't tell you to stand on the motorcycle or, you know, learn the exact ergonomics of standing up or sitting riding. I want to say that because for me, I think the vision is the most important, because even if you know all those skills, right, without the right vision, you are not really going to end up at the place, or you might even crash into some, you know, bad roads or bad trails. So vision is the most important thing you need to have while riding off-road, because what you have to do is you just have to set your vision to the place you want to go. And it basically controls your throttle input, it controls the way you are on the motorcycle. Because if you set your vision right, you're 100% sure that you're going to end up at the place you want to go.
Right.
So vision is the critical component of off-road riding. Without that, you might enjoy off-roading, but you won't master it. You won't really enjoy the way you're supposed to, because off-roading, you have to go to different places, right? You want to explore the trails, you want to explore the forest, or you might even want to go flat tracking on a beach. Yeah. But without the right vision, if you don't set where you want to go, if you don't set your eyes at the destination or at a point, you're not going to end up there easily.
And we have seen, beginner riders who go off-roading and they just look right in front of their front wheel. That's not the safest way to ride.
That
right?
is not. So what happens is when you do that, you are looking at a very short distance.
Correct.
Right. So when you're looking right in front of the front wheel, there is something called action and reaction.
Correct.
Right. So when you're looking at the right at the front wheel, you are going to react with the way the trail performs or the way the trail ends. Right. But when you look far ahead of your from motorcycle, then you can act.
Correct.
Because you now know if there are any motorcycles coming in from front, or if there are any big logs or big obstacles right in front, so you can act on that. But if you are looking right below the front wheel, then you're just going to react. And when you're just going to react, that means you're not going to have a lot of fun, because every time you'll just think of reacting to a certain instance.
Correct.
But acting is more, you know, it's more friendly, it's more easier, it's less stressful, because you're just looking, your vision is right ahead of, say, a couple of meters, maybe 20 meters, 50 meters or 60 meters, but it will give you the ability to act on your throttle, act the way you want. If there's an obstacle, you can just jump the motorcycle, right?
Correct.
But you don't have that leeway if you're just looking right in front of the wheel.
That's true. And so vision is the most important thing, the first thing that beginners should know. But apart from that, many people think that standing on the bike, a lot of people do it just to look cool. Is that true, or you really have to stand on the bike to go off-roading, or does it depend on the speed? If you want to go fast, then only you have to stand up.
So the main reason why we stand up and ride is basically you're riding off-road, right? There's so much of the trail changes every second. When I say changes, that you might be riding over a rock, you might be going through a rut, you might be going over a log, you know, there might be some obstacle, right? So every second the trail, the path changes.
Correct.
So you need to stand up and ride because you need to absorb those bumps, you need to absorb those the logs, the jumps you have to do, right? So while the motorcycle suspension takes care of that, your body also need to move with the way the motorcycle is moving, right? So the reason we stand up and ride is because to absorb, it's way easier. Like for me, if I stand up and ride at say 20 kilometer per hour, you can also sit down and ride, but when you stand up and ride, you have more control on the motorcycle. You have more control over that trail, over that few couple of minutes. So standing up and riding is the most important criteria, because like I said earlier, you need to absorb, because you know you're constantly moving around. The angle of your legs constantly keeps changing with the trail.
Yeah.
And when you do that, your body absorbs whatever travel that thing is coming on your way.
So we see people jumping their bike. I've seen a few videos on social media. riders try to jump their bike while they are sitting on the bike and they get thrown off the seat.
Correct,
they get thrown off ahead of the bike. So listeners, that's what you need to remember. If the terrain gets really undulated, you have to stand on the bike because your legs act as a suspension, if I'm not wrong.
Correct.
So it can absorb all the shock ups and downs. And Pratik, what about about steering the bike while going off the road? Is it the same as we do while riding on the road, like how we lean our body on the direction of the turn, or is it done some other way?
So like steering is very, very critical component in trail riding and enduro riding. But there's a different technique to do that in motorcycle. In off-road riding, you don't turn the way you do on a racetrack or a road, right? Here, the idea is you don't have to steer the motorcycle using the handlebar. You steer using your body, right? For example, if I want to go right, for example, so what I do, I just set my vision where I want to go, and I put a lot of weight on the right foot pegs and I take the body to the left side of the saddle.
Okay.
So what happens that way is I'm not steering, I'm not turning the motorcycle, my body is leaning it's leaning the motorcycle on the right, and that's how you turn. That you're not really turning, because what happens is when you want to ride fast on the trails, right? You can't really stand up and ride and use your handlebar to turn.
Steer,
it will slow you down by a very big margin, and you might end up falling as well.
Correct.
The best way and the most efficient way to do that is basically you stand up, you're riding fast, look where you want to go, you vein the pegs where you on the whatever side you want to turn, and the body goes to the opposite side. So when that happens, the angle between the wheels and the tarmac reduces, and that's how you are going to turn, be it right or left.
Correct. I think it's also important that you don't fight the steering too much.
Correct.
Otherwise, you will upset the whole geometry of the bike.
So what happens is that's why we grip the fuel tank, right? So I've seen a lot of people. I mean, I also started doing that using. I never used to grip the fuel tank. I used to be on the handlebar.
Yeah.
I used to hold it very strongly. But after a couple of training, after reading a lot of books, after talking to people, you have to grip the fuel tank, because what that allows to do is you are very free on the handlebar, right? When you grip on the fuel tank, the entire energy, the entire strength is taken care of by your legs, and you have your hands free to, you know, to steer the motorcycle, or, you know, to just give easy throttle input. Because if you don't steer, if you don't grip the fuel tank, you will end up gripping the handlebar really, really hard, and that won't help you ride the enduro really well.
Correct. And Pratik, since I've got into this profession, I've done some little amount of off-roading. But the thing that really bothers me, or I find really tricky, is the braking part. I mean, it's definitely you can't go really hard on the brakes, especially when the surface is loose, you're riding on a gravelly surface or loose sand. So how to go about the brakes? I mean, do you still use front brakes while off-roading, or it's all using the rear brake only, sliding the rear wheel, or how is it?
So there are two things. You can use front brake as well.
Okay.
I started using rear brake a lot when I was in my early stage of enduro riding. But over the years with experience, I started using front brake on the gravel, on the sand, because I feel it gives you more control. Because you need to understand the motorcycle, you need to understand the brakes, you need to understand the feedback, the kind of the lever is giving, right? That comes with the experience. But for a beginner, I would suggest focus a lot on rear than compared to front, because rear off-road riding is all about, you need to have lots of grip, right? You need to have traction. And if you are riding off-road in, say, in a rut or a bad road, or say, for example, during monsoon, right, slippery surfaces, as a beginner you must be riding a lot on the road, so you might try to use the same technique, right? You
Correct.
So for example, you just came riding for 100 kilometers on the road and you use front brake a lot, but now you are going off-road the same day, so you end up using do that. So no, what you do is focus a lot on rear brake, because that will allow, even if your rear washes out, right, you have full control.
Correct.
But if the front washes out, if you give too much input, I mean, I'm not saying do not use front brake at all. You can use it, but start focusing a lot on rear brake, because if you wash out the front by applying too much pressure, then obviously you might fall. But with the rear, you can just keep sliding. It'll help you correct, right? And also your body and your motorcycle will be intact. So do this for many weeks, practice it, or you know, ride trails for many months. Eventually you'll figure it out what you, what kind of braking requirement you need from motor, from your motorcycle. So yeah, focus a lot on rear brake, also on front, depending on the road condition, be it are you riding downhill or you're riding flat or you're riding uphill. The more you ride, the more you know about the motorcycle and the more you will learn.
Correct. And also, you know, novice riders get slightly panicked when the rear locks up and slides. So people need to get used to it by practicing, right? Because locking the rear wheel is not that a risky or, you know, dangerous thing as much as it is locking the front. So yeah, people need to practice also. That's one of the important things.
Yeah.
And Pratik, the next thing is people tend to think that for going off the road, you have to have a suitable bike, like say an adventure or enduro bike only. Is that the case, or you can, or say beginners can go off-roading on a road going bike also, which doesn't have, you know, knobby tires and very long travel suspension?
So as a beginner, so I think as a beginner, people are trying to figure out if they really like off-road, right?
Yeah.
So what I would suggest is, if you have any motorcycle, be it say a 150cc Unicorn or a FZ25 or, you know, a Domina, things like that, obviously there are limitations with that motorcycle, but right now the objective is to understand whether you really want to do off-road.
Correct.
Right. So you, so for example, you buy a X-Pulse 200, right, or you buy a 390 Adventure or a GS, three-term GS, and then for off-road, and then you realize, oh, this is not my cup of tea, right? I don't really enjoy off-road, so it doesn't make sense. Then you might sell, you lose a lot of money. So what you do, you should try just going off-road on whatever motorcycle you have, right? Except scooters, I'm not talking about scooters, but motorcycle, be it 100cc, 150cc, 150 or 200, 300, 400, whatever. Understand whether you really want to go off-road, right? So once you know that you are really interested in exploring the world of enduro riding, off-road riding, or road riding, then you can think of upgrading to a motorcycle, or that will give you lots of clearance, lots of suspension travel, right? You can think of that. And luckily, we are at a time where we have lots of options in the affordable segment. I'm not talking about the really premium, I'm talking about the affordable, say 1 to 3 lakhs or 1 to 2 lakh segment. So idea is just understand your motorcycle. You can definitely go off-road. You can go to, you can take a motorcycle to the beach. You can take, if you have a Unicorn, you can take it to a soft roader patch, or, you know, what I started doing is I had a motorcycle. I really love camping. I had a Unicorn 150, then a media bike. So I decided to go camping. I was like, so I'd gone to Alibag, found a place, took the motorcycle off-road. It was really simple. Obviously, I didn't stand up and stood up and ride and things like that. But I think I rode for almost 20-25 kilometers off the road. And I reached a place, set up my camp, chilled, and came back. And then I realized, oh, I really love this. Then I decided, you know, let me just get a better motorcycle. Then I got the Impulse 150, and then the rest is history.
And let's say if someone doesn't want to directly jump to buying an adventure motorcycle and they want to do some modifications in their existing bike, say it's a commuter or let's say any naked bike, a 200cc bike, and are there any small modifications that they can do which will help them to start off-roading?
So yeah, definitely you can do it. I would suggest, firstly, if you want to, like most commuter motorcycles, be it 125, 150, obviously they are meant to commute, right? You really can't do more than that. But off-roading, you, like we talked in the start of this podcast, so we stand up ride a lot, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to learn that aspect, you might want to get yourself a handlebar riser. Install that in a motorcycle, adjust it accordingly. You might even have to change the brake lever or the clutch lever, because now the handlebar is slightly on the taller side. You can do that. That is one small change you can make to your motorcycle. Then you can also get tires. I mean, there are so many options in the market right now. You can switch from a commuter road tire to a more of a, say, 70% road, 30% off-road, you know, Seat grip, things like that. And you can also change the seat. You can add more foam to your motorcycle seat. If you do that, you get your riding triangle becomes less aggressive. Plus, you also gives you the ability to stand up and ride. When you're standing up and riding, you obviously tend to reach the seat faster, right? And
that's
you can keep doing that often. And the more you do it, the more fatigue you're gonna have. So if you have a flatter seat, you will have less fatigue, because you'll have to travel less distance to the bottom of the stock seat.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, so these are the couple of basic changes, and it's not going to cost a lot. I think it's worth it, because like I've said in the start of the podcast, it's off-roading, enduro riding is really, it's one really addictive hobby. If you get addicted, I hope our listeners get addicted, but at the same time, I'm hoping they don't, because it's just difficult to get rid of this habit.
Yeah, you just can't stop doing it once that bug has beaten you.
So right? Imagine, so I'll tell you one incident. What happened is, I was riding from Bangalore to Goa for the GS Trophy qualifiers.
Hmm.
And that time I had the Triumph Tiger 800 XCX long term.
Okay.
So I was riding from one route. I took one Google suggestion what route. I was like, okay, let's take this. And after a couple of hours, I realized I haven't overtaken a single vehicle. And the next minute I saw an off-road patch, right?
Okay.
I have an adventure bike, I'll do it. And I started riding. And after 10 minutes, I realized I had to ask someone, why there's no one here? He's like, sir, here road bande, yahan pe concrete ka kaam chalu hai. I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, oh, now this becomes a nice adventure. I have a nice 200 kilo motorcycle adventure, one of the highest selling ADV bikes, and it's time to test it out.
Yeah.
So for almost 3 hours, I was riding at a route where there are no roads, no people around, not even animals. But the view was, the terrain was incredible. It is one of the best routes, according to me, I've ridden for the last few years. And it was just mind-boggling. Eventually, I reached a place where I finally found people. They were concretizing the entire path, and I found a way to, you know, get on it and reach Goa. But yeah, that day I realized I thought of doing this because I had an adventure motorcycle and some basic skills. If I didn't have an adventure motorcycle, I would have taken a U-turn and gone back.
Yeah. That's
so cool. Because of the ADV motorcycle I had, I could explore one of the finest forest route in Western Maharashtra.
And how many kilometers was this route? How long was it?
So this off-road patch would have been easily 30-35 kilometers.
Wow. Yeah. So 30-35 kilometers of continuous off-roading, and too on a big...
I was just praying, let's not have a puncture, let's not have a puncture.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I was not carrying any tools then.
Okay.
But luckily, I didn't. But it is, I still remember every minute of that ride. It was just fantastic. It was one of the best rides I've ever done.
And this was carrying a lot of luggage also?
Yeah, it was fully, I had a tank bag, I had a saddle bag, which was carrying my stuff for the last, I think, I was out of home for 10 days.
Wow.
I was carrying everything, and it was really, I mean, I would love to do that on some other adventure motorcycle, the same route.
So listeners, that was just one of the stories which Prateek has to tell about his adventures. If we really go on to talk about this, we'll have to record a different podcast altogether, I'm guessing. And maybe we'll do that later on. But now the last bit of advice from me and Prateek both is that just knowing the theory won't help. You suppose you have listened to this podcast and you have researched a lot, you have read a lot, and the moment you go out and start riding, it's not essential that you'll be able to apply those techniques. You'll have to practice a lot, because I know for a fact that Prateek and Vikrant do a lot of drills. They go out and practice a lot. So Prateek, isn't it really important to practice quite often to really get a hang of it, to really master that skill, isn't it?
So Anuj, honestly, not just off-road riding, be it anything in your life, without practice, you're not going to improve. You're not going to become a perfectionist.
Correct.
You're not going to really enjoy the process. You could eventually reach a point where you are not improving, right?
Right.
So practice off-road. There is a reason why even big Dakar rally riders, right? They practice on a daily basis,
correct. Right?
Honestly, I'm actually very glad I have a boss like Vikrant, because what happened is we still practice once every twice every week. We go to a nearby beach, we set up cones, we do slalom tests, we do full lock turns. Vikrant and I, we don't really practice riding on the trails. We don't, one simple reason is because we don't have a lot of trails around our house.
Yeah.
We don't go like riding and finding some new trails and riding there. We only focus on the basics. slaloms, full lock turns, maybe some you know, jumps or you know, slides or sliders. And because without these basic techniques, you can't really apply these techniques on a on a trail or when if you're competing, right?
Correct.
We always focus on training the basics, week on week, month on month, year on year, and that is. Luckily, we have reached a point where we can say that we are not really amateurs. We are slightly above amateurs when it comes to enduro riding.
Correct. That's true.
But so without practice, it's going to be extremely difficult.
Right. So that's it, listeners. You know that you have to practice. And we have covered the basic techniques. We have covered about braking off the road. How important is the bike and subtle mods. And I'm really thankful to Prateek for joining me for this episode. Thank you so much, Prateek, for this. I hope a lot you have encouraged a lot of our listeners to try it out, and maybe a lot of our listeners will now get into this, and we might do another episode on this as well. And I'll end this episode on a note that only these techniques are not important. Your fitness is also very important, especially if you're planning to do adventure riding. And Prateek will do an episode on that also,
we
right?
We should, because I've realized without fitness, it's going to be really difficult to be on the saddle here.
Correct.
You have to be fit. Your body should, your muscles, your back, your everything, you know, a good fit body allows you to have so much more fun on a trail or off-road.
So listeners, you know what's in store for you guys in the upcoming episodes. And that's it for this week. Do write into us at podcast@bikewale.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Give us your suggestions and recommendations or any request you have for a particular a topic that you want us to cover. And we also have a lot of interesting content on YouTube. We have video reviews of motorcycles and other informative content. Do check them out. Like those videos, share those videos and subscribe to our channel. This is your host Anuj and signing off for this week.